Father, I just thank you and I praise you for what you've already accomplished during praise and worship. I thank you for receiving our praise and worship tonight. And Father, I'm asking right now the works that you started during praise and worship that you complete before this night is over. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just hearing God say, I want you in all of your totality. I just don't want part of you. And those of you who are giving me just part of you, I want all of you or none of you. We just can't give God a little finger. He wants the whole hand. Amen. And you just can't give him an amen. He wants you to just totally and completely get immersed in him. Tonight we're going to talk about the fire of God. And God said, I'm coming to see if there is any fire on your altar. Now we all know the statement here, am I, send me. Most of us did that in our ignorance, not knowing what it meant. Amen. All right, so the prophet Isaiah discovered for himself the transforming nature of the Lord's fire. Remember, how long now has God been trying to have us receive his fire and keep it? He spent a season there, just every service it was fire, fire, fire. Well, God's coming to see if you still have that fire. So if I should be checking myself while we're going this evening and see if you still have the fire. Here is his description. Here is Isaiah's description of the divine close encounter that changed him forever. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with a train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. How many of you truly, whenever you truly said, Here I am, I send me, you saw exactly what Isaiah saw, that he was a man of unclean lips, and he lived among men of with unclean lips. And that is why you said, Here I am, Lord, send me. You knew that somebody had to pay the price to take the gospel to the world. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. Isaiah's vision of the Lord in all his glory threw him into dread and despair, because at that moment he recognized his own sinfulness and wickedness. I don't believe the people sitting in the body of Christ ever come to grips with their own sinfulness and wickedness. I think they keep fooling themselves, thinking they're all right when they're not. And they go around, they don't win souls, they lose souls. I've witnessed that in the 40 years I've been ministering. Too many people sit in the house of God not truly saved. And they'll talk about Jesus, but they don't walk Jesus. And God's upset with that. I'm giving you time to think about it. If you're going to talk about him, then walk out the walk. If you're not going to walk the walk, then shut up. Because you're letting everybody see you're two-faced. You're letting everybody believe that God isn't real. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing, all right? Isaiah expected at any second to be struck dead by the holiness of the Almighty. Instead, Isaiah learned the love, grace, and mercy of God in a new and deeper way than ever before. What changed Isaiah's life was the touch of the burning coal from the Lord's altar. There is, you know, if you're truly serving God, there's a time in your life when God will touch your lips with that burning coal, and all you want is Jesus. You don't want anything else but Jesus. You live, walk, and talk Jesus. People will think you're going crazy, but that's okay. You're at least going to sit in heavenly places one day. And they're going to be down in hell wishing they would have listened to what you had to say. So I'm just encouraging each one of you tonight who are truly walking with God. Don't be concerned about the faces. That's what God's word says. But be concerned where you will spend eternity. All right. Those that are talking about you don't know Jesus, don't even want Jesus. Or they wouldn't be talking the way they're talking. Are you listening? We are, you know, this, the glory is here. And when Isaiah saw the scene in heaven, the glory was in heaven. And glory has, God has dropped the glory, but not in all of its fullness. And we know that God said when he drops it in all of its fullness, there'll be one sitting in the house of God, he'll drop dead. Because they're pretending to be something they're not, and the glory's going to kill them. He's told us that, all right? But I don't see any fear of the Lord in the house of God, because people come in the house of God with sin in their heart. They know they sinned before they came. They know they're sinning while they're sitting here, and they know they're not walking in the love, walk like God told them to walk. So you just wander into God's house and sit down. But one day you might be, have to be carried out like Ananias and Sapphira were, because the Holy Spirit will strike you dead. You have to know that these things are going to happen. I'm hearing God said they're already on the horizon waiting to happen. And so don't be fooling yourself thinking God will pass you by. He won't. I've been lost my place now. Notice that the fire of the Lord touched Isaiah at the exact point of his confession. After he said, I am a man of unclean lips, the burning coal was applied to his lips. So that's telling me that the very second that you confess your sins to God with a really repentant heart, it's at that point that God touches your lips so that you can follow him 100%. In that instant, Isaiah's iniquity was taken away. See that? And his sin forgiven. His unclean lips were transformed into God-anointed lips for speaking the word of the Lord. Let's read that again. In that instant, Isaiah's iniquity was taken away and his sin forgiven. His unclean lips were transformed into God-anointed lips for speaking the word of the Lord. You need to understand that right now the false prophets and the false teachers are on the scene. Since this eclipse thing happened, I've never in all my life heard of such garbage that some ministers are putting out there on the internet. One pastor went so far to say that Jesus Christ isn't coming again. You know, this God is stirring the pot. And those that are not his, he's removing. And I just read where two big churches, and I forgot where it's at, it's someplace in the United States, they were closed overnight because the pastors, both men, were having an affair with one another. And they took their money-free thing, what's that thing called? Yeah, 501 away from and closed their doors. Big churches. Where's all these people going to? God's not playing games. You're either in the fire or you're not in the fire at all. You're either serving God 100% or he's just going to push you aside. And, you know, I've encouraged you all along to serve God, but I'm not going to do that no more. It's up to you what you do with your life. There's so millions of souls out there that haven't heard the gospel. Somebody has to keep moving. You know, God said, if they don't want to listen to you, shake the dust off your feet and move on. And he's told me to do that. He said, shake your dust off your feet and move on. He said, I have more souls that need to hear my word. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go ahead and serve God 100%? Or are you going to have him just pass you by? All right, so we talked about God putting a coal to Isaiah's lips. The lips are among the most sensitive parts of the human body. Try to imagine for a moment the pain of having your lips seared with a red-hot coal. So often the Lord's touch in our lives is painful, but in the pain there is healing. Amen. You think, God, why are you making me go through this? This hurts. This is unbelievable. But when it's all over with, you understand why God had you go through what you went through. Isaiah needed a touch of the burning coal of God's fire to cauterize the wounds of his sin and his broken spirit. Maybe some of you in here tonight, maybe you need the touch of the burning coals to have your life cauterized. Have God heal you from the crown of your head, of your pain. And, you know, I don't care how much the deliverance ministry goes to this, how much we try to set you free and tell you, you know, let go of the past. That past somehow or other brings you comfort. I don't know what kind of comfort, and you won't let go. So that's not our fault. And when you stand before God, you can't say, well, so-and-so did this or that. No, he's not going to listen to that because he made a way where there is no way. He made a way for you to just puke up that ugly junk and just get it out of your system and walk on with him. All right, then. That's why confession is such an important part of our walk with the Lord, particularly if we wish to pursue the intimate journey. You're going to have to confess your sins to God. He already knows what you've done. He really doesn't need to hear it. He already knows, but he wants you to actually speak it forth, so that he can set you free. We need God to take the burning coal of his love, and touch us at every point of our brokenness. And in so doing, transform us into the flame-tempered vessels prepared to carry his fire. I don't know if you're watching a blow glass, but there's a big, you know, it's hot and then a temper gets cold and it forms something. And this is what God is trying to do to the body of Christ as a whole. You really don't want to be touched at the point of your brokenness. You enjoy that pain. You enjoy feeling sorry for yourself. And that's why you hold on to it. Poor me. Look at poor me. Look what they did to me. Come on. You have not suffered near as much as Jesus, and you never will. And you're not the only, like God told me one time, you're not the only one in this boat. There's plenty, I don't even know what I was fussing about. Plenty of other people in this boat. Just get out of it and stop your junk. Are you understanding this? Isaiah left the temple that day a changed man. I remember when I was real young, when we had church, they had an altar call. You stayed there until they were free. We'd be there 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you know, shouting, come out, rubbing their heads and everything else. And when they left, they were free. It's not like that today. Oh, go to the altar, throw your hands up in the air and just, and everything's going to be fine. Well, no, it's not. You didn't really pray them through. You know, a lot of people, when they go through deliverances, you know, the deliverance ministry can tell you this too. God tells them they enjoy this, and they're not going to let go of this spirit because they enjoy what it does for them. So sad. So sad. Jesus will do so much more. Tell your son to sit up. He can sleep when he goes home. All right, so Isaiah left in temple that day a changed man. Isaiah was to have his dying day consumed by the fire of the Lord, calling God's people to repent and return to him. That is why God wants 100% of you, because you cannot preach the gospel if you're living in sin. Just can't do it. You're not going to win anybody to Christ. They might still like you, but you haven't changed nothing inside of them. But when Isaiah died to himself, and he was consumed by the fire of God, he changed lives. The 24th chapter of Luke talks about the two disciples who did not recognize Jesus after his resurrection. You know, doesn't that blow your mind? These guys walked with Jesus 3 years, but they didn't recognize him when he rose from the dead. Luke 24, 27 through 35, Jesus started talking to the two disciples. And starting with Moses, with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Okay, there Jesus talked about himself. Everybody said, well, you shouldn't talk about yourself. Well, that's a testimony, right? The things concerning himself and all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and Jesus acted as though he were going further. But they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. You know, Jesus wasn't worried if these guys are going to follow him or not. He was going to go where he wanted to go, or where he had to go. You know, if you just stop and think about what you're reading when you're reading the word, you know, people want to stop you in your tracks, but you know where God's leading you, and you have to keep going. You can't stop because some whatever over here decides you're going far enough. See, they don't go far enough. And that's why they don't, they want you to stop, because they want you to stay a sinner. And they want you to go to hell with them. But I have news for you. When you go to hell, they're not going to keep you company. You're not even going to know them from what God showed me. You just all be going and all be in little cells, and all you will be is a skeleton, and there'll be fire going in and out of you, and you're screaming in total agony. That's what hell's all about. And they want to take you with them. So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, and look at this. Jesus had reclined at the table with them, Jesus took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. This is a communion they had. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus, and he vanished from their sight. When they had personal communion with God, they knew God, or Jesus. Reason why you don't know Jesus, because you never had personal communion with him. You don't know him. You don't know his heart. You don't know his voice. You don't even know his ways. In verse 32, they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? So during dinner, Jesus blessed the bread and broke it, and it was in that familiar act of communion and fellowship that their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus. It was intimacy, true intimacy. You know why your marriages don't work? You don't have intimacy. You're just two people living in the same house, looking at each other's flaws and enjoying running each other down. That's what I see over and over and over again. No true love. No fellowship. No wanting to build each other up. Look what you did. Look what you did. Look what you did. Well, you know what? God's looking at what you're doing, what you're doing, what you're doing. And God told the men they're supposed to love their wife as Christ loves the church. I know some wives make it about impossible to do that. I understand that. But God's commandment still is, love your wife as Christ loves the church. I know women can be a pip, but I know men can too. This is not a one-way street. Men are as ignorant as women are. And see, God wants all this broken up. And he wants true relationship, true intimacy to come into a marriage. If I ask for show of hands, every one of you older women here would raise your hand, because I'll say this. Don't raise your hand. How many of you got married too young? Did not understand what you were getting into. Didn't understand what you were going to have to give up to share yourself with somebody else. Come on. Men are the same way. So that you blame it on the other guy, but really, you were in the pot too. All right. As soon as they knew who he was, Jesus vanished from his sight. He just went away. Notice what the two disciples said to each other. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Their hearts burned within as Jesus unfolded to them prophetic revelation concerning himself from the word of God. Sometimes Jesus knocks on the doors of our hearts, begging us to allow him to enter. God's interrupting here, so let's go back and read the other thing. Their hearts burned within as Jesus unfolded to them prophetic revelation concerning himself, the word of God. In a marriage, when your spouse starts revealing secrets about themselves to you, instead of you cursing them and calling them all kinds of names and running them down, you should feel compassion for them. Because they're saying, here's my heart. I'm opening it up to you and I'm telling you what I'm really all about. And I need you to understand me and to still love me with all my flaws. But that doesn't happen. We're living in a world that's so fallen that we can't seem to get back up again. The world I'm talking about. We can get back up again, right? Sometimes Jesus knocks on the doors of our hearts, begging us to follow him to enter. At other times, it seems as though he is completely ignoring us. He doesn't speak a word. And in his silence, we think he has left us, even though the word tells us in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. See that? God tells us right there, you have nothing to worry about. Even when I'm silent, and you and I know he can be silent a lot. And then I've said this, God, are you not with me anymore? Of course, he's right there. His word says so. He's wanting me to just listen, just be still. He's told me to be still so often, I don't know what else to do, but be still, right? What he's saying is, daughter, I have this. I have this all taken care of. You just be still and let me bring it all to pass. But all of us people in here, men and women alike, we don't know what be still means. We think it means get up and start running like crazy and get it done. But God is saying, be still. I have it under control. All right. The reason their hearts were burning was that someone was taking up residence within them. I keep telling you, if you just give everything to God and let him come and live within, you will be a changed person. People can persecute you, say all manner of evil. You can just go in your room and cry and stomp your feet, but God's in there. And you can feel him, and he starts stirring, and he starts telling you how much he loves you, and then you forget what's going on outside those four walls. All right, their hearts burned within because the spirit of revelation opened their eyes to understand the scriptures. You know, how many of you know, God said he's going to open up the scriptures to us right now in this dispensation time like never before. And how many of you are seeing things you never saw before in the scriptures? Even though you studied, I was reading something the other day. I said, wait a minute, we use that in the wrong context. I'm trying to think what it was. Last night I couldn't think. But there's a scripture we use all the time in the wrong context. But I didn't see it until the other night when I was studying to put something together. See, God is letting us see the scriptures as they truly are. Not as we think they are, not as man is saying they are, but as they were written through the Holy Spirit. All right, with their spiritual eyes open, they then knew him in the breaking of the bread. Intimacy. What this is saying is that they met him in communion. When he vanished from their sight, they were left with the fire of God, living coals of fire in their hearts. What did Jesus say when he went away? He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you a comforter. So when Jesus left, God gave us the Holy Spirit, who is fire, and we should be walking in that fire, and we're not. If we was walking in that fire, things in our lives wouldn't be going on the way they are. We wouldn't be so downtrodden all the time, and we shouldn't be. Do you know a lot of body of Christ is very selfish? They want, but they never give. They just want. And that's not the Jesus I serve. He gives and he gives and he gives. All right. Somebody wrote me an email the other day and as well, that just sounds like me. So I answered it back, but God gave me a couple scriptures to give to them. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for reminding me of why you're having me do what I do. See how God works in mysterious ways. And then when I wrote that back to the person, they wrote back and said, thank you. That has really helped me. So what I'm telling you is everything you go through, I don't care what it is, even if your shoestring breaks and you get upset, God's in it. And he will do what he needs to do to bring you out of it. But you have to trust him. One time my sister who's passed and gone, she said, Barbara, you know, there's 30, 60, 100 fold. She said, I'm 60, you're 100. She said, you'll go through things I'll never go through because I wouldn't want to go through them. She said, so stay on your 100-fold walk and keep doing what God's calling you to do. So that's, you know, that's like some of us in here. Some's 30, some's 60, some's 100. The 100-fold is a whole lot. She was content at 60. She said, I don't want to go any further than 60. Amen. But God's calling us out of 60 into 100-fold tonight. So let's get out of the 60-fold comfort zone. And let's get into the 100-fold where the battle really is raging. Let's get into that 100-fold where their lost souls are. And where we're going to have to pay a price day in and day out to get those souls saved. All right. Not going to take 20 years to get them saved either. God's just going to bring them in and salt them. And then we're going to minister to them and they're going to serve God. That's what his word said. Isn't that what he's been telling us? Okay. God has called us to be carriers of the fire, which is his presence. Paul said that the great mystery of the ages is Christ in us, the hope of glory. You find that in Colossians 1:26, Ephesians 3:1 through 6. Yeah, you really ought to study those two scripture, those two books, because there's a whole lot of good stuff in there. There can be no greater manifestation of the Spirit than Christ living his life in and through us. And how many times has God prophesied to you and said, I'm living in you and through you. I'm working my good works in you and through you. You know, as I was writing this, I thought, you say that over and over and over again. We don't understand what you're even saying. His fire is there, and he's using your vessel to do what he needs done on this earth. We need to practice the presence of God daily. We should never try to do anything in public or on the platform that we don't practice in private. And anyone who does, I want all heads up, and anyone who does needs to be delivered from a performance spirit. There's an entertainment spirit that has permeated Western Christianity. We're good performers, but we have not been good maintainers of the inward fire. Remember, God, I say that because God told us, if you don't live it, don't sit behind this pulpit and preach it. Remember that one time Brother Brett was preaching, I thought, why is he standing down there? He wasn't living what he was teaching. He taught it because I asked him to, but he didn't tell me he wasn't living it. So he took God at his word and stood down there. I wish everybody else would do that. You know, if you're not living what you're preaching, then you need to sit down and be quiet. You already know that for a whole year I asked God not to use me because I was in a mess. I wasn't literally sinning, but there were just things going on around about me that weren't right. And so God did. He wouldn't let me quit, but he let me sit for a year while you guys preached. All right, it is time for us to go forth and reclaim the inward journey, because in the long term we will only be as successful in the outward journey as we are in maintaining the inward fire. You hear that? Do you hear that, girls? I want you to keep going with what you started. Don't quit. And you just need to be a little bit braver and bolder when you're talking, you know, but you did a great job. God needs you young girls to get the other young girls and boys' attention. and get somebody has to start these kids on the road. Why not you? Well, I don't feel qualified. Well, I sure didn't feel qualified when I first started either. I look back at some of the sermons I preached way back then. I think, oh, dear Lord, and they actually sat and listened, and God really moved, and we had miracle after miracle. It doesn't matter. You know, as long as the Spirit of God is there, He'll take care of everything. Where am I at, Brett? All right, the Lord is looking to see if we have a fire within. The Lord said, I am coming to see if there is any fire on your altar. This is what God's doing. He's checking you out tonight. On the altar of each of our hearts, there need to be hot, burning coals of fire. God is saying, I commission you to give away these coals of living fire that I have given to you, and you must teach my people how to maintain the fire within. I commission you, God's saying this, to give away these coals of living fire that I have given to you, and you must teach my people how to maintain the fire within. God said, freely you have been given, freely give away. So, and you know, you don't have to worry about giving away your anointing, because as you give away the anointing, God refills you constantly. I pray a lot of times when I'm hugging people, God, all the anointing that's in me right now, pour into them. Because I know that God, well, I guess it wouldn't matter, but I know God's going to refill me continually, and I don't have to be hoggish and hold on to what I've got. We're supposed to freely give it away. And if you have a healing ministry, then you need to quit standing back and real shy-like and just say, in the name of Jesus, you know, give it away. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Give it away. This, and God told me when I first started, whatever you place your hands to do, I'll do it. So until you speak those words of healing over somebody, it's not going to happen, because God's waiting for the vessels to be bold enough to speak it forth so he can heal. All right? Whatever gifting God has given you, God wants you to start using it. All right, then. If you've ever had a good fireplace in your home, you know how enjoyable it is to cozy up to the fire and sit there in quietness, possibly with a friend or your spouse, and just watch the wood burn and listen to it crackling. We have a fireplace, so I know that. All right. Never sat with anybody, but I sit by myself and listen to it. It is an atmosphere where you can let your guard down, share your most intimate secrets, and enjoy greater union with your companion, who is Jesus. You don't need a flesh and blood set beside you. Sometimes they make the fire go out. All right, so whenever you're sitting with a fire, let it be Jesus sitting with you. The Lord is our companion. You know, I say that and y'all laugh, but that is the truth. That is the absolute positive truth. If you have flesh and blood set beside you, they could just dampen your old day. But if you have Jesus, he makes the fire grow brighter. The Lord is our companion, and he's looking to see if there is a fire within. He wants there to be a place in our hearts where we can be warm with him and where he can satisfy our souls. He wants passionate fire burning in our hearts. And we're going to have an altar call about this, so listen to what God's saying. The fire of his love, the living fire on the altar of our heart, is the fuel that will propel us from the warmth of our own personal Emmaus into the dark and downtrodden, harried and hopeless ways and byways of a lost and hurting world. The world, you know, Jesus is waiting for us to get this fire he placed within us. He did that service after service after service, but you have not rekindled that fire. You've let it grow dim. And tonight God wants to bring that fire to a blazing fire that will never go out. This is a fire that we're going to carry to the nations. When people walk through the door, they should feel the love of God. When I walk through the door, I feel demonic activity right now. Every service I've felt demonic activity for about a month. Should never be. When I walk through that door, I should feel the Holy Spirit and the fire of God. And as the people come in, it gets stronger, not the fire, but the demonic gets stronger and stronger and stronger. There's not enough fire in this church to out in the light of the devil. That's not a good thing. Shame on you. All right, we are a drink offering for our Father. this tells us that in a word, I should write a scripture down, poured out and wasted for him, just as a pure nard, with, you know, pure nard is the oil with which Mary of Bethany anointed the feet of Jesus. We are a drink offering. We are being poured out. Jesus was a drink offering. He was being poured out. God wants to pour us out tonight of all of our flesh. And he wants to rekindle that fire tonight where it will never go out again. And that you'll have such a loving, burning compassion for Jesus that all you want is Jesus. All you want is Jesus. And then you'll save that lost and dying world. God is waiting for this to happen so we can drop the glory in all of its fullness. Some of you are probably like me. You sit at home and you cry out to God, God, when is it ever going to really happen? When are the people sitting in the house of God that you've been teaching for years and years and years and years going to get it together so you can drop your glory? I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little bit antsy about all this. I want the excitement of seeing this whole room filled with unsaved people so that they can know Jesus and go to heaven and not to hell. You know, I told you that I didn't care if people went to hell or not. I really didn't. That was my attitude. And then that's why God took me to hell 3 times. He wanted me to see what they would go through. And ever since then, I've had compassion for lost people. And I want to see them go to heaven, but I can't make them go to heaven. I can't make them live. You're just saying, Jesus, I bring you, I give you my life. That doesn't make you a true Christian. You have to start changing your lifestyle. You have to start really loving the Father. You have to, instead of somebody demanding you go to church, you can't wait till the door is open to get there. That's when you truly love the Father. And that's when you know you've really sold yourself out to the Father. And you have that fire deep inside of you. But then you have to treat everybody around you with love too. Well, that scripture, love the unlovable, is about neon signs in my mind. About the time you think you know somebody's all right, then they do something even stupider than they did before. And you really have to say, God, give me love. It's hard to love the unlovable. I don't care what you say. You can lie and say it isn't, but it is. But God commands us to love the unlovable. He also tells us one day he'll say, don't pray for them no more and shake the dust off your feet. So I said all that for half hour. And now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to come to the altar and say, God, I want that hot coal on my lips. I want that fire within my bosom that will never go out so that I can be a true disciple for you. If you want that, that's what the altar is open for tonight.